Hi, welcome to the Theme Park Trader Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Darren.
Hello.
This week we're going to be talking through the news before the end of the year. Well, the end of the year for us, not for you, who will be listening in January. We're going to be talking about behind the scenes of Pandora, the world of Avatar, about Walt Disney World not reaching capacity over Christmas, Disney replacing the Magic Kingdom welcome show at Walt Disney World, Blizzard Beach having to close due to cold weather, Busch Gardens run for the fund 5K, and then we're going to be looking at our 2017 things that are going on at theme parks and which of those are our most anticipated. And as much as it pains me to say as well, we're also going to have an opportunity at the start of the podcast to pay our respects and say goodbye in a way to our friend Alan, who sadly passed away last week. So enjoy the podcast.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So, Dan.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, Christmas was good. Obviously, I've had the week off, so it's been quite relaxed, quite chilled, you know. The way it is, a Christmas week, playing on the Xbox pretty much.
Days, oh.
Yeah, only what? Well, we got all the Saturday, Sunday, Monday left, so.
Yeah.
So obviously Monday's in lieu of New Year's Day, so it's not got a few more days left, a few days to slob about, so that's fine.
I have next Thursday afternoon and Friday off as well, so.
Ah, so 2 day week.
Yeah, 2.5 day week.
That's not bad at all.
So I was supposed to have that whole week off plus the Monday.
Right.
It's still, you know, it's okay, I guess, but
it's something, yeah, better than nothing.
It's something, I suppose. But yeah, no, I mean, Christmas has been good. It's been busy. I've eaten too much. I've got to the point now where I don't want to eat any more food, and I now need to lose weight rather than put weight on.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I needed to lose weight before Christmas, so now there's an even greater need to lose weight.
You're just putting on your winter layer, that's it.
The problem is it sticks around all year, and then I get another winter layer next year.
Just keep doubling up, it's fine.
So, I've had this kind of stinking cold over Christmas. I had a few things over Christmas that were cancelled because everyone was ill, which was a bit
That's
annoying.
Not good.
No, yeah, it's a bit annoying. But I'm feeling a little bit better today. I'm heading over up to London after we record this to go and see the New Year's Eve fireworks.
Yeah, that should be awesome.
Should be great. There's going to be tons of people there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be crazy. But hopefully it'll still be good. The weather is supposed to hold out until tomorrow. So fingers crossed that we won't get wet either. It's just going to be cold, I think, 4 degrees.
Yeah, I think it's rain on its way, isn't there? But
rain tomorrow.
Should be nice.
London, yeah. So we should be okay. So I guess to start off the podcast, I guess we wanted to say goodbye to a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine on Twitter, who I've, you know, sadly never got the chance to meet. But it's weird sometimes on Twitter you feel like you know someone even though you've not met them.
Yeah.
And Alan, who is a fellow podcaster, a member of the Enchanted Tiki Talk show. I really feel for the guys at the moment, especially, but. He actually helped me and encouraged me to start this podcast in the first place and, you know, gave me some advice, you know, helped me out, you know, and from what I'm reading with of people's comments online, he was always about to help people and, you know, offer them advice, share his Disney knowledge, share his love of the parks. And, you know, more recently he had a baby girl with his wife. And, you know, to pass away over the Christmas break is just terrible. And when I read that, I think I read it on Boxing Day. I just couldn't believe it. I just genuinely couldn't believe it. So something that we're going to do, and I'm going to do it, and you know, I've had it open for a couple of days. I'm going to do it today. Is go and donate. So that there's a page that's been set up to fund either medical bills, or I think primarily to fund the college fees for Alan's daughter. And they, you know, what I think is fantastic about this Disney community, and not, but it, the theme park community in general, but I think in this case it's Disney, is that they set a goal of $5,000, and in 6 days they've raised almost $14,500.
Wow, that's impressive.
Which is just incredible, and you know,
yeah,
his wife has taken over his Twitter account and is responding to people's comments, and I think, you know, it's such a shame to lose someone that was so positive, so upbeat, and so engaged in this community. And you know, I don't want to go into it too much because I'll start getting emotional myself. But you know, we wanted to pay our respects to Alan, and you know, our condolences are with his family at this time, right at the start of the podcast. So you know, yeah. You know, goodbye to our good friend Alan. So, this week's news. It's been an interesting week. You know, I thought it was going to be a slow week, but actually, there's a couple of interesting stories, a couple of curveballs that Disney have thrown at us, especially this week. The first one was behind the scenes of Pandora, the world of Avatar. So on Christmas Day, Disney does a annual broadcast. This year they decided to show off some kind of behind the scenes footage of the world of Avatar, and you know, everyone was present. Bob Iger is in the video, James Cameron, who it looks like he's been let out of a mental institute for the day. You know, hats off to James Cameron for his earlier movies, Aliens and Terminator 2, especially is one of my favorite movies of all time. Slightly downhill with Titanic, and perhaps a little bit further downhill with Avatar, but nevertheless, he was in the video, and they showed off some of the behind the scenes. They showed off some of the floating rocks, and to be honest, I've never ever felt this excited for a rock before in my life.
It is floating, to be fair.
It is floating.
You know, it's not your average rock.
When I throw a rock in the air, it doesn't stay up for very long. It tends to come back down and hit me on the head. So how Disney are doing this? I don't know.
Well, pixie dust. It's got to be something like that, right?
It has to be, yeah. So it looks pretty cool though, doesn't it?
It does. It looks like it's really coming along. It looks absolutely fantastic. There's some shots, isn't there, from like under the rocks, and they just look amazing.
They do. They really do.
Obviously, so far we've seen them from a distance.
Yeah, and they look incredible from a distance, but to see it from underneath, you know, in the video they're saying that everything in this land is going to be alive. So you know, they've talked about in the past, you know, you touch a plant and it reacts to your touch, and they've talked about the attractions. We see a little bit more of these attractions in this video, not too much, but you know, just a little bit more detail. And I personally can't wait for the summer. I'm not going back until October unless Disney invite me to see this. Disney, if you're
fingers crossed,
invite me to see this.
And me, come on.
Well, yeah, no, obviously. By me, I mean theme park trader.
Us, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's what I mean. But, yeah, I think it just looks really cool. It's a nice little video. There's not too much revealed in it, but I think there's just enough to kind of keep you interested.
Yeah, I think we see a bit of, I can't remember the name of the ride. What's the waterboat ride? Do you remember?
It's
like, kind of like riverboat or something,
isn't
it?
Some kind of river cruise, something.
Yeah, something along those lines. But we see a bit of that, by the looks of it, like some people testing it.
Na'vi River Journey, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like we get a little tiny couple of seconds of that footage.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
It does. And, you know, they talk about the attraction where you're riding a banshee, which is Flight of Passage. And again, sounds pretty cool. It looks awesome. I can't wait to see it. I just wish they'd hurry up and open it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm heading there in beginning of June, so I'm really hoping this is going to be open, and they really open it like really early summertime. But
I'll be honest,
knowing my luck, I'll probably miss it.
I'll be honest with you, that's poor planning.
It is. Poor planning
on the vacation front.
Yeah, yeah. I did forget that it was coming.
How can you forget? We talk about it every week.
I don't know, but. Yeah, it's the excitement of booking.
Yeah,
you just lose yourself, don't you?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I do that. We actually booked on Donna's birthday this year.
What traveling on Donna's birthday?
No, we booked it.
Oh, you booked it. Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we're not going to. We go pretty much October every year because, in my opinion, it's one of the best times of year to go. But you can pretty much mostly guarantee that all the rides will be open, not only open by that point, but it would have died down a little bit by that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. So yeah, that's Pandora, the world of Avatar. There's lots going on. Hopefully we'll see more of that soon. The video is on our site. Come and check it out. Next piece of news is, you heard me mention it in the intro, is that Walt Disney World did not reach capacity over Christmas 2016. When I say Christmas, I mean the period between Christmas Eve and the day before New Year's Eve, because as we record this on New Year's Eve, we have no idea if the park's going to reach capacity today. I suspect that it will, but everything I say on this podcast, the opposite seems to happen. So who knows? But I suspect that it will. But the interesting thing is, it didn't reach capacity. None of the parks reached capacity on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So to give you a comparison, in 2015, Magic Kingdom hit capacity at 10 a.m. on Christmas Day and did not reopen to guests until 4:30 p.m. later in the day. So that park also hit capacity on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So the question we asked ourselves is, why did Magic Kingdom especially not hit capacity on Christmas Day? Now, there's a couple of thoughts around that. I think one of which is that to get into the park on a single day admission on Christmas Day is going to cost you $19 more than it would in comparison to a quieter period. That's quite a lot of cash, especially if you're travelling to the park with a family, which, let's be honest, you're going to be if it's Christmas Day, aren't you?
Generally.
You'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think so. So that's one reason, I think. The other reason was commented to me by at Disney Help on Twitter. And they think, and I don't disagree with them at all, it's the annual pass blackout windows that are driving this. So this year Disney introduced different tiers to the annual pass. And unless you've got, I think it's called premium, like, correct me if I'm wrong, then you can't get into the park on Christmas Day. I think it's probably a combination of those two as to why we did not see those parks hit capacity on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I would assume it's mainly driven by Florida residents.
Yeah,
this reason. So, yeah, obviously being the price for an admission ticket is more expensive, and I'm sure it's more expensive than what it would have been last year, because obviously we saw ticket prices go up, haven't we? And then obviously if they've taken away some dates from annual pass holders, then they're pretty much going to be Florida residents, I would say, the majority of them, you would think. So those two factors probably make quite a big difference, don't they? Now, obviously, we'd seen numbers go down, hadn't we?
In attendance in general, yeah.
Yeah, this year compared to last. So I certainly don't think it's that Disney is less popular, because I think given the likes of their recent animated films, they're probably more popular than ever.
Yeah, I think it's more that this was something that was engineered by Disney themselves. They don't want the parks to hit capacity on Christmas Day, because you know what? If you get there on Christmas Day, you know, last year, if you get there at 10:05 on Christmas Day, that's your Christmas ruined, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not really good. If you've got a family, you've got kids turning up to Magic Kingdom for Christmas Day, and, oh, you can't get in.
I would argue personally that as much as it would be magical to be in the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day, I do not fancy queuing 3 hours for anything on Christmas Day. So Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't go there anyway. Personally.
No, I agree. It's kind of like, even like any theme park, really, it's kind of like it's Christmas Day and you're standing in a queue for something.
And you're going to be standing in a queue for a long time as well.
Yeah.
Still, if you're taking your Christmas stocking with you in the queue, you can do presents.
Or just open all your presents.
Yeah.
In the middle of the park. Yeah. It could work. But I mean, I wonder whether this was sort of like also a money spinner for Disney, because obviously if they take away people, annual pass holders, they play their flat fee for the year. If they found that last year a large percentage of people coming into the park were annual pass holders, then if they get rid of all of those, or the majority of those, because obviously one tier is still available, then all those guests that were waiting outside the park to get in last year now can get in and they can pay their fee
and spend more money. Yeah,
and so they now, Disney have got all the money from all the people who were waiting outside last year.
Yeah, that's sort of true thing. That's very true. I think that's a good point, because don't forget, also, if you're an annual pass holder, you get discounts on merchandise and stuff, so people are going to be paying more money for merchandise, more money for coffees and whatever. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they probably make quite a lot of cash on that day.
Yeah, oh, I suspect so. I do feel sorry for the cast members that have to work on Christmas Day, though.
Yeah, but they love what they do.
I'm sure all cast members love Disney to bits.
Maybe not the Paris ones, but...
Fact. Every Disney cast member who I've spoken to on Twitter, not naming names, loves the Walt Disney Company. Fact. Hashtag sarcasm.
I couldn't tell there. I wasn't quite sure.
That's why I hashtag sarcasmed it. So, the next story is that this one that really actually upset me is that Disney are replacing the Magic Kingdom welcome show at the Magic Kingdom, which I just said. So, there you go, you've got it twice. At Walt Disney World. So, it's going to be gone by January the 9th, which is when the new show starts. And they're switching up how it works. So rather than inviting guests to hang around before you enter the park, outside, I guess, the front or back, depending on where you are, of Main Street Station, they're actually going to be inviting guests inside the park, right up into, right down Main Street to the Castle Forecourt stage, where they can kind of, guests can kind of get ready to go into the land of their choice. The show is then going to include a Royal Herald who will appear on stage to deliver a message before bringing Disney characters onto the stage. Sounds typical Disney cheese to me.
Yeah.
But for me, this just cannot replace the existing show that is there at the Magic Kingdom with, you've got the Good Morning song, you've got the Casey Jr. song, just as Casey Jr. is being played out. The actual train comes into the station. The Disney characters are all on the train. It's just brilliant. But I don't know. I don't see how they can replicate something like that on the Castle Forecourt stage. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it will have quite the same magic to it.
No.
And I think if people come into the park, like say for the first time you're coming into the park, you're let in through the gates, you see everything around you, you see Main Street, you'll see the castle, and then you sit there and watch the show. Like people may not be paying all attention to the show because they're too busy looking around at, you know, the amazing buildings and all this sort of stuff
around them. Or the opposite is true, in that why is everyone walking towards the castle stage? Maybe I should just ignore Main Street and go straight there.
Well, straight to the castle stage.
Straight to the castle stage, right?
I think it
could happen either way. There's some people out there that think that this is going to be a temporary thing. This hasn't been confirmed by Disney. You know, according to the Disney Parks blog, you know, they haven't said that this is permanent or temporary, but the Walt Disney World Railroad is actually going to be closed for refurbishment from mid-January to early March. So that kind of ties in with this new switch around of the show.
Yeah, because obviously the 9th, just before the middle of January.
Yeah.
So it would make sense. I wonder whether they haven't said whether it's temporary or permanent yet, because they want to keep their options open as to whether it was, proves to be a success or not.
By success, I think they mean how many more bank vaults do they need to store cash in as a result of this. And I say that because as a result of opening the park earlier, they are opening the Main Street Bakery. They are opening some of the shops like the Main Street Emporium. So people are going to be spending money earlier in the day than they would have done previously, which means that buying a Starbucks in the morning is going to be even more horrendous than it is now.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing. If they open all the foodie places earlier, then people will go in, they'll get their breakfast earlier.
Yeah.
And then they'll be hungrier sooner. So they'll get more... In the long run, they'll probably end up buying more food in the park if they're all there all day.
I think so, yeah. You know, the other thing is that it's going to be kind of less crowded in terms of people entering the park at the start of the day, because people will just slowly filter in as they arrive, I would think.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, you get a bunch of people, literally thousands of people all in one area. I'm wondering if this is Disney saying, look, we need to install some more security. It's probably not that safe to keep thousands of people beyond the reach of someone that hasn't been through security, necessarily. And by beyond the reach, I mean someone who could potentially be carrying a firearm. Maybe we should let them into the park. Now, I don't know if that's something that's influenced this decision. It could be as simple as the railroad's being refurbished. We need to do something. Let's do this. But it could be, again, it could be a consideration here. It will also result, I think, in longer lines at the start of the day. So everyone is basically going to be ready to go as soon as the park opens at... let's say the park opens at 9. Everyone is going to be at the entrance to the land that they want to go in. So rather than... And they're probably going to be fed as well, because they probably would have stopped at the Main Street Bakery. They would have got a snack or something like that. So they're going to be ready to go. As soon as it hits 9, everyone is in that land. Everyone is on that ride. Whereas previously, people would see the welcome show, walk into Main Street. They might stop something to eat, take a photo, ride a Main Street vehicle. You know, slightly easier way into the day. With this, everyone is ready to go at 9 o'clock. So I think that will result in longer lines right at the start of the day.
Yeah, because that's the thing. If you got a load of, like, I'll call them Disney veterans, you know, people who go there a lot that don't necessarily want to see the show.
Yeah.
They'll get themselves ready. They'll get themselves fed. They'll get themselves in a position so that they can get on their ride as soon as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I take my running block with me just so I'm ready to go.
But on the start line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe don't fire the gun, but.
No, I'm not allowed that. But no. Yeah, I'll be ready at Tomorrowland. Ready to go straight to Space Mountain.
Running. Yeah.
or indeed Fantasyland, ready to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, just because that is the most ridiculously long queue to wait for.
Or Peter Pan.
Oh, no. I just won't bother with that.
That's probably more so the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting point you said about security, though, because obviously last week we saw the increased security at Disneyland, and then was it the week before that we heard rumours of increasing security at Walt Disney World? Mm-hmm. So whether this is like the first step...
It could be, couldn't it? I mean, I think it's something. It's a possibility, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at least when you're through security, yeah, oh God, you know, you go, oh, I've got to get my bag checked. Now I've got to go through a metal detector. And, oh, now there's like 5,000 people waiting to get into the park. Whereas with this, you're like, oh, done that. Now I can walk in, I can have a coffee, I can just sit down for 20 minutes. You know, it's just a little bit easier for people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's probably a more relaxed entrance to the park.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, have you ever seen the welcome show at Magic Kingdom?
I'm sure I probably have, but I haven't seen it in recent years.
It's just crazy. They do the worst possible thing that they could do at a Disney park. They do the welcome show, it's really good, it's brilliant. And then they go, okay, let's open the Magic Kingdom. Everybody count down from 10! And it's like, you can just see people like stretching, warming up.
Limbering up.
They're getting close. One, go!
Everyone starts getting their sweatbands on.
Yeah, exactly. People start slapping people out of the way.
It's like the start of the like London Marathon or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, you know, maybe this will actually help with crowd control a little bit more, even though it will result in longer lines at the start of the day. And then my other thought on this was the impact on Main Street vehicles. So my first thought was that these only really appear to run first thing in the morning. So I was wondering, well, if people are constantly flowing in and they're all heading towards the castle, are they going to be running these? Because aren't people going to be in the way? But we had a comment on the story from Mike Doyle, and he said, this is how they've done rope drop at Disneyland for many years, and it has no impact whatsoever on running the Main Street vehicles. Half the crowd will browse the shops, the other half will kind of mass by the hub and immediately disperse at rope drop. It actually makes it easier for the vehicles since the initial mass crowd is already well past Town Square at rope drop. Makes sense? Yep, that's yeah. Reassuring, I think.
Yeah, again, I think it's because people sort of like filter in like slowly, you won't get, as Mike says, you won't get that mass of people, will you? So
yeah,
it probably is a little bit easier.
I think so. So hopefully we still see the Main Street vehicles continue to run, because I do think, although I very rarely ride them anymore, they are brilliant to see. And, you know, on the occasion that I do ride them, it is good fun. So, and then we got another comment from Rod who said, so this probably means the end for the Mayor, Smokey and the others. I don't get all worked up around the changes around the kingdom, but if that is what it means, then that really sucks. The few citizens of Main Street remaining really add to the park. I agree. I hope this doesn't mean that they scrap all of the Main Street citizens that wander around. The mayor especially is brilliant. I think I met him in the Plaza restaurant. He's some kind of like, if you've never heard of him, he's like this like 80-year-old guy that just wanders around. he does know what he's doing. He's really good. He's a really like genuinely nice guy, taking photos of everyone, just messing about. It's really good. So I hope that we don't see an end to the Main Street citizens as a result of this. I think if the Main Street vehicles continue to run, I don't think we'll see an end to the citizens. I certainly hope not. They need to keep that vibe of Main Street alive, I think. So, but yeah, but the worst part for me of this is to see such a good welcome show disappear. I do have a little bit of hope that when the refurbishment is complete on the Main Street station and the railroad as a whole, that the old show will return. But it remains to be seen. So again, I'm not going to completely criticise this new show. I haven't seen it, so there's no point. But it's going to be hard, I think, to top such a brilliant welcome show that exists right now at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think if they can keep it by the train station, obviously where it is at the moment, I think that would probably be the preferred approach. Like even for Disney, because it keeps like that magic. For me, it sounds like it keeps the magic, because it's like everyone like goes into the park once it's open, then everyone sees it at the same time.
Yeah.
So
I think I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So next story is that Blizzard Beach had to close on December the 30th for the whole day due to cold weather. So yeah, but believe it or not, in Florida it does get cold.
Ish.
Ish. I mean, when I looked at the temperature, I was like, really? Come on. So basically it was 16 degrees centigrade, not Fahrenheit. We use centigrade over here. That's
the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is warm for us. Like that is like probably like spring moving into summer warm for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't mind that. That's good.
I would easily get in water in that temperature.
Well, is that the air temperature?
I think it is, yeah.
I mean, you can understand that the water's probably a bit colder. Like,
it's called Blizzard Beach, Dan.
It's expected to be cold.
If anything, it should be open for longer.
That is a good point. I'm not sure it would attract crowds, though.
No, to be fair, I think we did... Is it Blizzard Beach? It was either Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon. We went there. And it shouldn't have been open, because we got into the water and it was freezing. It was freezing. I'm really, really cold. And yeah, after about an hour, we had a donut. After about an hour, we left because it was just so cold.
Was that the donut eating thing or the donut ride?
Donut eating, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand why it was closed. The water will probably be a bit nippy. But at least Fantasia Gardens and Winter Summerland Crazy Golf Courses remained. But obviously that did impact the already busy day at the other Disney parks. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I do feel sorry for anyone that was in the parks on Friday. But I mean, then you did choose to go to Disney on one of the busiest weeks of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It's to be expected that it's going to be busy. But yeah. I can't imagine they get too many people like coming into Blizzard Beach anyway. Like, would you want to go into a water park and during winter? I don't know.
Well, you think not. Maybe us crazy Brits, but...
Maybe.
It's still hot for me. Other than that day, it's still pretty hot for us.
Yeah, relatively. It was still pretty warm, isn't it? But
that 23,
yeah, I don't know if I'd want to go into the water.
No, but. I mean, I very rarely go to a water park nowadays. I much rather spend my time in the four main parks queuing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'm very much the same. And you see, if you go to the blog, you can see the logo. I'm surprised they haven't changed this. I was talking to you before the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's got an alligator or crocodile on it, whichever one it is. And given the incident that happened earlier on in the year.
Last year now.
Was it last year?
Well, it is.
Oh, I suppose, because, yeah, because when it goes out.
I was trying to keep up the charade then.
No, we already said at the beginning.
Didn't we? Yeah, that's true.
Cats that already out of the bag. Yeah. I'm very surprised they haven't changed that logo.
Well, yeah, it is a surprise in a way, but at the same time, I think they did overreact massively, didn't they?
They did, but to have like an alligator on skis in your water park, I don't know. Given the other measures that they made,
yeah, true, true.
I'm surprised this didn't change too, but you know.
No, it's a fair point, but I'm glad that they didn't.
I'm not critical of it as such. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, someone at Disney probably head rolled for that. I was like, what about the water parks?
Nobody
goes there anyway, it's fine.
I mean, what does the alligators have to do with anything with water anyway, you know?
Exactly, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's fine. Yeah. Look, he's on skis!
He's got a rubber ring around him, he's fun, he's a nice alligator.
He's not dangerous.
No, he's wearing a scarf?
Yeah, he's keeping warm. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, because it's cold. 16 degrees, I mean. Well,
that's true, yeah, you've got to keep warm.
Yeah.
So, moving on, Busch Gardens is going to be housing the Run for the Fund 5K on, it's the third annual run, on January the 20th. The race is open to everyone, and it raises money for SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, the conservation efforts that they do there. And you can sign up right now. It's $30 per person from December the 1st to January the 18th. And then it goes up to $35 from January the 19th to January the 20th. You're able to run, jog, or walk it, but you must keep up a pace of 16 minutes per mile to be able to take part. I don't know what happens if you fall slightly beyond that. Do they just, like, put you
kick
down?
Kick you out. Yeah, dart you.
There's a guy with, like, a sleeper dart in a tower somewhere.
Or just some guy, like, some guy maintaining a 16-minute mile, and anyone who can't keep up with him gets clubbed.
I can't remember the name of him, but the guy in Police Academy, he's just running behind him going, move it, move it, move it!
Just pushing people. Maybe they have two people running at 60 minutes per mile with a string yeah. or a bit of rope, and then anyone who can't keep up, he gets pulled.
It's like fish wire, so nobody can see it's there as well.
Yeah. Either pulled or sliced.
I do think that's a slightly odd thing to say, but like in terms of 16 minutes per mile, but
yeah,
there you go. Apparently the registration to the event includes a voucher for a discounted $25 Busch Gardens admission, which is valid until May 29th. Everyone's going to get a race t-shirt, a medal, and a race bib with timing chip, as well as some refreshments at the finishing line. You'd like to think they'd give some refreshments at the finishing line. It's just like...
$5 off the water, please. Yeah. They didn't say free refreshments.
No, they didn't, to be fair. No.
They didn't. They just said there's going to be some refreshments.
Water! I need water! That's $25, please.
Yeah. Jack up the prices.
Yeah.
Just for the event.
But I don't have my wallet. Oh, sorry.
We'll trade your $25 Busch Garden admission ticket for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. We should work for Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
Although with that attitude, we should probably work for Disney.
Yeah. So I'd say, given the year that they've had, the things that we've seen, we'd probably do quite well.
I think. Yeah. I think we would. So we should be high-end management at Disney. So there's going to be animal and character appearances throughout the course. I don't know. Maybe that's what they do. If you're falling behind the 16 minutes, they just unleash a lion on...
Release the hounds. Yeah. That sort of thing.
Open the cage and out come, like, 18 cheetahs. and then they're opening the Busch Gardens Moroccan Village afterwards exclusively for runners. So, you know, all I would say is go and sign up, raise some money for a great cause, and let us know if you're taking part. We'd love to hear from you and see, you know, if you hear from anyone that does fall behind that 16 minutes per mile... Do let us know if they make it out alive.
Yeah, if they send some animal that runs at 60 minutes per mile.
Yeah, what would that be? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't really know how fast 60 minutes per mile
is. It's quite slow.
It's hard to tell. Yeah.
It's quite slow. So, I don't know. Maybe a panda?
Maybe. They're relatively docile, aren't they? Maybe if you go on the wrong side of it, but I don't know.
I don't know. I can't think of a slow animal. I mean, a sloth is going to be a lot slower than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a cheetah with some kind of broken leg or arthritis.
That actually sounds cruel now.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying the Busch Gardens are doing that to their cheetahs.
No, breaking their legs just to send them after runners, slow runners. This sounds horrible.
After the year that SeaWorld's had, maybe... No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, go and sign up now. I think it's the story.
It's going to be great.
So 2017 is almost here for us and is here for you. And we wanted to talk about what attractions are going to be opening in 2017. And I guess which one we're going to be most looking forward to. So I'll run through the list of ones that we know of so far. You've obviously got Rivers of Light. Well, you hope Rivers of Light.
Hope so, yeah.
You've got Avatar, well, Pandora, the World of Avatar with Flight of Passage and the Na'vi River Journey. You've got Star Tours, The Adventures Continue at Disneyland Paris. You also have Disneyland Paris 25th anniversary, which is going to be pretty cool. You've got the Lego Ninjago The Ride at Legoland Florida. You've got Ghost, the Haunted House at Legoland Windsor. You've got Ocean Explorer at SeaWorld San Diego. We've got the Finding Nemo ride that is due to open at Tokyo Disney Sea. Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon, which is due to open in May. Fast and Furious Supercharged, both of these are at Universal Studios Florida. That is also due in May, but we haven't got confirmation on that yet. Those are all the ones that... Those are the main ones, at least, that are going to be opening in 2017. So, of all of that, Dan...
Did I miss Volcano Bay?
Oh, of course.
You missed the entire park.
I missed the entire park of Volcano Bay erupting, as it does, last of all, onto the list, is Volcano Bay. So, out of all of those, Dan, what would you say you're most looking forward to?
I would probably say I'm most looking forward to Pandora, like, as a whole.
Yeah.
As a whole thing. Not particular rides, just the whole of the Pandora area. Just because, obviously, it is the massive new area. It's going to be so immersive by the looks of the videos and things like that. So, yeah. I can't say I'm particularly keen on the Jimmy Fallon ride. I think it should be cool.
Yeah, given, I would agree.
The whole... whatever they call it, moving theatre sort of approach.
Yeah.
That we saw earlier in the year. So it will be good, but I'm not massively looking forward to it. And the same goes for Fast and Furious, kind of like, you know, generally I don't tend to watch the Fast and Furious films. I think it will be another 3D ride. I can't remember whether that's been confirmed or not. So it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll definitely go on it. But, you know, it's not one that I'm massively looking forward to.
I would agree. I think certainly with regards to Fallon and Fast and Furious. I've never really thought much of the Fast and Furious films. I think they started off with their own unique kind of genre in kind of like a cool street racing thing.
Yeah.
And now they've ended up with some ridiculous Hollywood explosions with The Rock and Vin Diesel. I don't know what Vin Diesel even does nowadays. Like, he just seems to do those movies and kind of, you know, where were the days where he started The Pacifier? Go back to those days. Come on.
Oh dear.
That's a great movie. I refuse to admit that it's not a good movie.
He's in another Triple X film.
Oh yeah, okay. That's pretty much Fast and Furious though, isn't it?
Pretty much, I think, these days, isn't it? I haven't really seen any of the recent ones, but I get the impression that they're very much
action. They all look the same, action. Don't they?
Yeah. It's hard to distinguish each one.
But... yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you which one was which if it was on TV, unless it was maybe one of the first two or three. But I don't even know what they're on now. Eight, is it? Seven? I don't know.
Something like that.
Eight next year,
I don't know if it's... Is it?
I think.
Possibly.
They said they're going to stop after 10.
Okay. I think didn't they change the title of this one or something? I saw something about that. They just took one of the words out or something, or fast switched and, one around. Fast Furious and Fast.
Fast and Furiouser?
Yeah.
Things just got angrier.
Maybe.
What are they going to do when Vin Diesel hits like 60? He's not going to be fast.
I think he's quite aware of that, is right?
He's going to be more angry, I guess, because he's older, but he's not going to be fast, is he?
No. Slow and Furious.
Slow and Furious. Slow old and Furious. He's 49, to be fair.
Is he?
He's going to be mid-50s by the time they make number 10.
Probably, yeah, I suppose. Although, I think bring one out every year? I don't know.
No, I don't think they're bringing one
out. Is it out one every couple of years?
Every couple maybe of years, I think, yeah.
Right, okay. So, yeah, mid-50s then by the time.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's no different from Harrison Ford being in
Indiana Jones
at like 79 or something when it comes out.
Yeah, it's just going to be that. I mean, that is just ridiculous in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends what sort of part he's got. Maybe he'll just be a cameo.
No, I think he's a starring role again.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's like Indy, grab the relic. What do you call me, Sonny?
It's 8:50.
I've got a bus pass, damn it! I don't know why he suddenly talks like Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah, maybe that could be a new role for him.
Yeah,
a remake.
Oh no, you cannot remake that movie.
I was about to say, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
No, I think all the time that Robert Zemeckis is still alive, he will block the remaking of that movie.
Who's that?
He's the director.
Oh, okay. Did he do the originals then?
Yeah.
Right, I see.
And Spielberg,
I suppose it depends who has the rights to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think he does. I think Spielberg will also block it as well. So, yeah, so back to what I was looking forward to next year. I would actually, annoyingly, probably, annoyingly for the listener, is agree with you, actually, Dan.
Doesn't often happen.
It doesn't often happen, does it? But no. I think everything I've seen of Avatar just looks brilliant. I know I've said it time and time again, I'm not a massive fan of the movie. I liked it when it was in the cinema, but I think what they're doing with the land just looks brilliant. It just looks like the technology is just going to be phenomenal. The rides look incredible. What I've seen of it so far just looks absolutely brilliant. So I think, for me, that has to be right up there with the top thing that I'm looking forward to. I think secondly is probably... I want to go back to Disneyland Paris next year if I can, to see the 25th anniversary, to see what they've done with Thunder Mountain now that's reopened, and to see the new Star Tours, even though I've seen it elsewhere. I think it's going to be cool. So they are doing a few cool things for the 25th anniversary. They've got a new show, they've obviously got Star Tours, they've got Big Thunder, which has just been reopened, they've got other bits and pieces going on as well. They've got the Star Wars stuff happening next year as well, beyond just the attraction. So, for me, next year's looking pretty good for Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, it does sound like they've got a lot going on, so it should be good. And I think when we went there last time, we missed a few bits, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't mind going there again to see some of the stuff that's going on. But yeah, I agree. Because back to Pandora, it's one of the first well, it's been a while since we've seen like a brand new land, isn't it, from Disney?
Yeah, I mean, the last one was New Fantasyland, wasn't it?
So. Yeah, and that's, it's not really, it's obviously a brand new land, but it's not really an immersive land as such, is it?
No.
Like, it's not focused on one thing, like obviously like Pixar or it's Toy Story, isn't it? Toy Story Land,
yeah.
Yeah, and Star Wars Land, they're going to be both focused on one particular subject, similar to how Pandora is. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it compared to the likes of Harry Potter in Universal.
Yeah.
You know, they did it really well, and they created such an immersive world of Harry Potter. So it'll be interesting to see how Disney compare to their efforts with Pandora.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'll be very interesting to see. And I think, you know, there's lots of great things opening up next year. I know we've not even talked about them all, but it's still going to be a good year, I think. So, but yeah, I mean, let's see what happens and see what Avatar ends up being like. You know, who knows, this time next year we could say, well, Avatar was a load of rubbish. I doubt that.
Yeah, I very much doubt that, given the video that we've seen. Go and see it on the blog, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know it might surprise some of you that none of us said Ghost the Haunted House at Legoland Windsor. You know, it's probably maybe top 20 next year, just about, possibly. But
yeah, and obviously neither of us mentioned Volcano Bay, but again, it's kind of like a water park, isn't it? We don't tend to go to water parks. So
no, I mean, the whole premise of it, the whole technology behind it looks great, but for me, it's just a water park. I'll happily hold my hands up next year if I go and say, you know what, I was wrong. It's not just a water park. It's changed my life. But I don't think it will. I don't think it will. And I think that Universal are better off making Nintendo attractions happen faster than they are making a new water park. But that's just me.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Although, obviously, this has been in the works for
year and a bit, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. Because when I was there in, it would have been a year ago now, they was, you know, building work had only just really started, I think. It'd been going for a couple of months, maybe. So they've been going for a couple of years, maybe.
Yeah.
Ish.
So that's the podcast for this week. If you've got a favourite attraction for next year, do let us know, and we would love to hear from you. Next week we're going to be joined by our friend of the show, Amber. She's going to be talking about her most recent trip to Disney just before Christmas, and is just going to be having a general chat to us, so do join us again for that. You can find us on our website, themeparktrader.com. We're on Twitter as well, at themeparktrader. We're on facebook.com/themeparktrader, and I'm on Twitter as well, at Ryan Ox. So if you've enjoyed today's show, please do leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really love to hear from you, and we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are, and just in time. There's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return. Ha 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 ha